on tonight, if you'd like, we're gonna have a few things that we'll have on the screen here. But if you'd like to follow along in the Church Age book with us, we're gonna be teaching a little bit from the Church Age book, just a few pages here. If you'd like to have your own just for tonight, just lift your hand and the brother will make sure that you get one, so you can just kind of follow along. We will refer to a few quotes that are there in the Church Age book as we go through this lesson tonight. And if you would, just turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. As we will get the context of our lesson here tonight. Revelation 1, and starting at verse 9. Just a couple of verses here. It says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, it was not a trumpet, but it was as of a trumpet. Verse 11 says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And it goes on saying, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So we'll just kind of focus a little bit here on verse 10, 11, and 12. And so just a little review from our lesson from last week. Brother Branham was talking to us about what was the first step, and what we found last week, the first step was to get in the Spirit. You know, we have to get in the Spirit in order to be able to understand spiritual things. So very, very important. We got that last week. Get in the Spirit. That's the first step. When people go to football games, basketball games, whatever, they get into the spirit of it. We come to church, we ought to be in the Spirit. Whether it's Wednesday night, Friday night, Sunday morning, we ought to always be in the Spirit, because that's the only way we're going to get something from God, is when we come in the Spirit. Amen. And you can't wait to get to church to have the song leader get you in the Spirit. You actually have to be in the Spirit before you get here. You know, and I mean, it's the same thing. If you approach it from a natural standpoint, people that actually get in the Spirit before they go to a game, they don't need anybody to help them get in the Spirit. They do that all on their own, right? They get prepared before they go to that event. So it's the same thing for us spiritually. We have to prepare ourselves, and we have to get in the Spirit if we're going to ever receive anything from God. Brother Branham said, when you get in the Spirit, then you'll begin to see things. Then you'll begin to see things. The scripture says here, we just read it, says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. That's Revelation 1:10. The prophet says, I was in the Spirit, out of the Patmos vision, says, I was in the Spirit. Isn't that just beautiful? My, I love that. You could just call those words the whole of the Christian life. If we are going to live as Christians, we have to be in His Spirit. That's very key, not just our own spirit, but His Spirit. John was not talking about being in his own spirit. That would not have brought these visions. And what we find here is that this book of Revelation John was in a vision for a 2-year period. That is a long time to be in a vision, right? But for a 2-year period, but he would have never got these things had he not been in the Spirit. The same Spirit that John was in to receive the vision, we have to be in the same Spirit to get the interpretation of the vision. Amen. See? So he says, John was not talking about being in his own spirit. That would not have brought these visions. It had to be the Spirit of God. It has to be the Spirit of God with us too, or all our efforts are in vain. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit. I will sing in the Spirit. I will live in the Spirit. I like that. You know, years ago when I was, the worship leader for the church, I would approach the worship service as if I was preparing for a sermon, right? I didn't just take it lightly, just grabbing a few songs and just singing them. No, we had to be in the Spirit. And, you know, the other thing is that whether people came to church or not in the Spirit didn't bother me. I was still going to worship God all by myself because I had a revelation of what he already done for me, right? So I didn't need any other help, you know, in order to worship Lord. But I approached the service in a way as if I was preparing for a sermon, right? I was truly getting in the Spirit of the Lord before I would approach the service. I think that's very important. It says, I will pray in the Spirit. I want to encourage. I mean, Paul says this, even those that are singing songs as a special, sing in the Spirit, right? Don't just sing just to sing a song, right? But sing in the Spirit. I found that God will actually deposit songs into your spirit weeks ahead of time. Weeks ahead of time. He'll deposit. You'll find yourself just kind of, why am I singing this song all the time? It's a reason. It's a reason. Maybe God wants you to sing that as a special. And he might have given it to you 3 or 4 weeks ago. It'll just sit there and it just deposits and you just wait for your turn and you release that. I remember one time I was walking through a park and at that time I wasn't even, we were somewhat in a situation where I wasn't really being allowed to sing at the time. Not because I did anything wrong, just a little disagreement, I believe. But nonetheless, I was in the park and the Lord had dropped the song down in my spirit. I still remember it says, they said I wouldn't make it, said I wouldn't be here today. They said I'd never amount to anything. But I'm glad to say that I'm on my way and I'm growing stronger day by day or something like that. Say, there were many that started out with me, but now they're going astray. But I'm still holding on. And that was that God put that song in my spirit. And I say, the Lord even told me, say, now you're going to sing this tomorrow. I said, no, I don't think I'm going to sing that tomorrow. You know, I'm not singing right now. I don't think I'm singing that tomorrow. The Lord said, you're going to sing this tomorrow. I went to church. I didn't tell anybody. I just sat there in church, and before you know it, I'm sitting in the audience, and I got a tap on the shoulder and said, would you sing a special for us? I say, oh, yeah. I know exactly what I'm singing. And I just went up, and I said, I needed a musician, but I wasn't gonna push it too much. I just go sing what Lord put in my heart. And as I start singing, next thing you know, I heard them keys back there playing. I said, Lord, nah, who is that? And I kept my eyes closed. I just sung in the spirit, the whole song. And when I opened my eyes, it was my sister back there playing. I said, praise God for that. God will do these things for you if you're in the spirit. Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. Everything you do, do it in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Sing in the spirit. He says, I will live in the Spirit. If there is anything good that would come to me, it has to be revealed by the Spirit, confirmed by the Word, and made manifest by the results it bears. As truly as John needed to be in the Spirit to receive these tremendous revelations fresh from Jesus, we need to be in the Spirit to understand the revelations that God has given to us to live by in His Word, for it is the same Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So again, reviewing from last week, Christians' hearts and emotions are on what? Christians' hearts and emotions are on what? Are they on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Google+? Is that where our heart and emotions are? As Christians, I hope not. What about dances, love stories, sports? Is that where our hearts and emotions are? What about television, radio programs? Amen, they can be just as bad. Is that where our hearts and emotions are? You know, can I just be honest? Especially, you know, this time of year. Man, football season, basketball season, people's hearts and emotions are all on that. It's the truth. Can't wait to get out of church to check the score. Amen. Right? We spend more time on that than we do in the Word of God. Now, churches is nothing but the truth. Our hearts and emotions are on the wrong things now. As Christians, our hearts and emotions are not to be on these things. The other thing our heart and emotions are on is whatever our friends are doing right now. We got to keep up with whatever they're doing right now. Our hearts and emotions shouldn't be on that. That's wrong. What the prophet told us is that our spirit is clean. It is fresh. It is real. It is sober and serious, but nonetheless full of the joy of the Lord. The Christian ought to be just as exuberant and full of his pleasure in the Lord as the world is when it savors and delights in its pleasures. Both Christians and the world are human. Both have emotions. The difference is the Christian's hearts and emotions are purely on the Lord of glory and his love, while the world satisfies the flesh. Now, actually, if we could, there was a couple quotes that I want to bring up on that, and also a scripture that I'd like to bring in with that. I'm actually in the Church Age book. I'm on page 44. I'm in paragraph 3. I'm going to read that. And if anybody, again, want a Church Age book, just lift your hand, and Brother Jeffrey will make sure that you get one there. But I'll read from there, and then I got another quote here from the Seal of the Antichrist that I want to read. So the prophet says here, have you ever noticed how the world gets into the spirit of things that are in the world? They go to their ball games, their sporting events, and their dances. They enter into the spirit of it. They don't sit there like wallflowers, old dried up sticks. They enter right into the feel of things and become a part of things. And I like that part too. Again, if you're going to some event in the world, you get into the feel of things and you become part of things. You know, people are more vocal and more excited at football games and basketball games than we are when we come to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, you know, people will lose their voice. Just yelling and screaming and lose their voice, right? Why, I'd rather lose my voice praising God, worshiping God, than anything else. You know, I'd rather leave here. I mean, just, I can barely talk. And sometimes, you know, it's a good testimony when you go back to work and you have no voice and they ask you, well, what happened? I went to church. I would rather that be my testimony than saying I went to some football game and lost my voice, right? But he said they enter right into the feel of things and become a part of things, but oh, how they hate the Christians. For getting in the spirit of God's word, they call us fanatics and holy rollers. There's nothing they won't do to show their hatred and disapproval, but ignore that. You can expect it, knowing where it is coming from. Just go on and get in the spirit of worship. Last week, we brought out the point when the world get into the spirit, especially when it comes to their ball games, they think about the team and the players on the team. They think about that ahead of time. They begin to read up on the statistics of, you know, how the team is doing. They talk about all of that with their friends. You know, if you've gone to work and you see people have the water cooler conversations and they just talking about the sports events all day long, right? That's how people get into the spirit. Can't wait for the next weekend. You know, they actually hate what they call bye weeks. They hate it because their team is not playing, right? But they want to see that team play. You know, but that's how people get into the spirit. You know, if a person could hate a bye week, y'all understand? You should not have no bye weeks when it comes to church. You actually should hate a bye week. I gotta miss church, but what? Right? That you should dislike bye weeks. Amen. When they go, they paint their face. They dress appropriately for the event. Guys be in the freezing cold, shirts off, paint all over their body. These people are getting in the spirit. They are true fanatics. Now, I don't want you to come to church with all that paint on. That's not what we're talking about. But it's good to get into the spirit of what you're doing. Amen. 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 Romans 8. Let's read that really quick. Just a couple verses out of Romans 8, verse 5. Romans 8 and verse 5, it says this. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, right? For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh can not please God. We're going to be carnal minded. We cannot please God. That's why I mentioned last week, there is no balance when it comes to these things, right? When it comes to things of God, your scale should be tipping, you know, in God's favor. It's not a balance that you set between the things of the world and the things of God. You know, well, I spent this much time in the Word, so I can spend this much time. No, 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 no. We don't equate things of the world to things of God, right? I mean, it should be tipping always in God's favor. Listen, verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we don't want to be carnally minded in this hour. We want to be spiritually minded. Let's read this one quote also from the seal of the Antichrist before we go forward in the presentation. It says, and that poor little girl out there, she got mixed up with some of her associates. Why did she get that way? Because she got into that kind of group. Listen, there's a spirit of everything. There's a spirit of a nation. And I'm bringing this in because you know what? I want us to understand tonight. There's a spirit in Instagram. There's a spirit in Facebook. There's a spirit in Google+. There's a spirit behind all these things, right? So there's a spirit of everything, right? It says there's a spirit of a nation. You go into this nation, it's got a spirit. What is the nation spirited with? Entertainment. All they have is Who Kissed Susie, ever what it is on the night. And people will stay home to watch television, something about Susie or something like that, instead of going to church and say that they got the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Now, I know a lot of us nowadays, we beyond that. We're not staying at home to watch television. We are coming to church, but we got TiVo. That means then when we get home from church, we can watch what we missed. See, that shows that you're in the spirit of that. You're not really in the spirit of what's happening at the church. Some of us can't even wait to get out of church. A few weeks ago, we had an overtime service. People couldn't wait to dock the doors. Don't be like that. The things of God have got to be more important than anything else in this world. Amen. If you're going to get something from God, you got to get in the spirit. And don't put God on a time limit. God, you got 2 hours. Okay, and nothing happened in 2 hours. I'm going, what if God want to slay you in the spirit for hours after the service is over? What if you want to do that? Do you have time on your schedule to allow God to do that? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Listen, he says, brother, something about Susie or something like that instead of going to church and say they got the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. Brother, by their fruits you'll know them. Who was that? Lucy something about Lucy or something. I love Lucy. Some of them programs like that, I don't watch her nonsense. Now, a prophet wouldn't even watch I Love Lucy. Think about what people are watching today. Amen. He says, I don't watch her nonsense. I read my Bible. I love to serve the Lord. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. That's what we need today. That's what you, you're getting out of will of God. That's where you move back. No wonder you can hate your neighbor and everything else and still carry on like that. You can't have the love of God in your heart and do that. That's right. Amen. All right. We want to be in the Spirit. All right. Let's go back to our presentation here. Again, Scripture says I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's what John said there in Revelation 1 and 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. But there's a difference between the day of the Lord and the Lord's day. The day of the Lord and the Lord's day. When we talk about the Lord's day, the prophet says that's when the days of man are over. That's the Lord's day is when the days of man are over. But the day of the Lord is when the judgments fall, and after that comes the millennium, right? The day of the Lord is when the judgments fall, and after that comes millennium. One of the scriptures that pertain to the day of the Lord is I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the great coming of the day of the Lord. So before judgments fall, God sends Elijah the prophet, right? After these things, we went through the timeline last week, but we can expect after a rapture for the church, and then after the rapture for the church, 3.5 year period for the Jews, and then it's pretty much finished at that point in time. So we're living in that time. We can expect these things. So before the day of the Lord, God sends a prophet. But that's when judgments are going to fall. Day of the Lord, most of the time in Scripture, when you see that, it's talking about judgments. But John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And so Brother Branham said, the Lord's day is when the days of man are over. He said, right now, it's the days of man because they do whatever they want to do with the Christian. But one day they won't be able to do that, right? So it's a difference between the day of the Lord and the Lord's day. Okay, here, as we go forward in our lesson tonight, Revelation 1 again, 10 through 12 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. If you would just, in your Church Age book, I want to just make a quick note here. We'll read a quote from page 49. Actually, I think I missed one. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, page 49. Paragraph 4 is where I'm going to read from. And he says this. Right in the section where it says the golden lampstands, it says, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. John does not say that he turned to see the one whose voice he heard, but he turned to see the voice. Oh, I like that. He turned to see the voice. The voice and the person are one and the same. Jesus is the Word. And John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. If you can ever get to really see the Word, you will be seeing Jesus. If you can ever get to really see the Word, you will be seeing Jesus. I think that's very important. I'm gonna say this as well. When we hear things like, people say, listen to the voice. My hope is that the voice that they're listening to is the voice of Jesus Christ, not just the voice of Brother Branham, but the voice of Jesus Christ. Amen, church. Right? That's that's the voice that we want to listen to. The scripture said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. See, so even as ministers are coming forth, it's not that minister's voice. It's the voice of God speaking through that minister. That's who the church falls in love with, you know. That's it's Christ. It's all about Christ. So, amen. Let's go on a little further, amen, to tonight. All right. I'm going to go back to yes. It said it was as of a trumpet. Now, here in Revelation 1:10 said, I was in the spirit of the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, so the question is, was it a trumpet? The great voice, as of a trumpet, was a trumpet. And here we want to find in the Feast of the Trumpets, Brother Branham says, now notice the trumpets that we're speaking of is a call together for either a feast, for war, for a person, some sacred day or something like that. Notice you say for a person, yeah, or for the year of Jubilee, the announcement of the coming of the freedom when they could go back. Now, we could take a complete mourning on just that one thing, but now getting into the trumpets, you got the background now and the seals and the church. Now, we're going into the trumpet. The trumpet sounded, and the trumpet denotes either war or feast day, or what it means is gathering together of the people, the trumpet. But this scripture did not say it was a trumpet. It says it was like a trumpet or as of a trumpet. So that means something a little different, and we want to just kind of get clarity on that. It was as of a trumpet. Okay, now we'll find this in your church age book, page 48, paragraph 2. The prophet gives us clarity on this. And he says, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. John was in the spirit, and when he saw the great and wonderful day of the Lord Jesus and all his holy power. The future was about to unfold, for God was about to teach him. John did not say it was a trumpet. It was like a trumpet. Now, when a trumpet is blown, it has an urgency about it. It is like the herald, the king's messenger coming to the people. He blows on a trumpet. It is an urgent call. The people gather to listen. Israel was always assembled by sounding of a trumpet. Something important is at hand. Listen to it. So this voice had the same urgency of appeal as did the trumpet. Clear and strong it was, startling and awakening. Oh, that we might hear the voice of God as a trumpet this day, for it is the gospel trumpet sounding forth the word of prophecy to make us aware of and prepared for what is coming upon the earth. Amen. This is a gospel trumpet sounding forth the word of prophecy to make us aware of and prepared for what is coming upon earth. I was listening to something today, I believe recognizing your Dennis message, and Brother Branham's just kind of talking about how he was having a really hard time preparing for that sermon. He it seemed like enemy was attacking his body, and he just couldn't get a thought. He couldn't get his thoughts clear about the sermon, and then finally the Lord just kind of dropped it in his spirit, and he began to just write his notes down. But at the end of that sermon, he said a little thought came to him about a story that he heard, and he said it was a legend or something like that, where they were telling the story how this king needed to get a message to somebody. And he had a servant. He said, I want you to take this message. I need you to get this. It's an urgent message. Get it to them. You know, do everything you can. He says, now I want you to take my scepter, you know, with you. And just anytime you need to use it, just show them the king's scepter, you know. And so as he was going, and some of the different people would stop him, and he would, you know, they would give him a little trouble. He'd pull out the scepter and say, no, get out of the way. I got the king's business to take care of, you know. And he finally, you know, he had to continue to show that scepter, you know, to different people that was trying to hold him up along the way. And, you know, it's the same thing, you know, I think with us, with, you know, king's scepter is the word of God. You know, we're not going to allow Satan to try to stop us from receiving this, right? Amen. Amen. This gospel trumpet, amen, this urgent message that we heard was the sounding forth of the word of prophecy to make us aware, right? And also prepare us for what is coming upon the earth. You know, the scriptures say that day won't overtake you like a thief. Well, it's because we got inside information. That's why it won't overtake us as a thief. Thank God for that. Amen. All right, let's go on to our presentation. A couple more slides, and I also got a few more quotes that we'll read. Amen. It was like a trumpet. And this is beautiful. Verse 11 is what I want to focus on. See, it's this voice, this urgent voice, this clear voice, right? It also, here's getting information to John. And in verse 11 saying, first, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, very clear, distinct. And the voice is saying something. It's saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Right? This voice is saying something. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Now, here in the Patmos vision, when the prophet originally preached this particular message before it actually went into these blue books that we have, he made a comment there that I want to just kind of take you back to. Here he says, my quotes here. He says, in the spirit on the Lord's day, now we hear it. Now what? And what was he done? He was transferred from the aisle now in the spirit over into the Lord's day. And as soon as he got over into the Lord's day, he heard a trumpet. What is it? Is somebody approaching? A great one's approaching. Trumpet sounds. Somebody's coming. He looked. Hallelujah. Trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Not an announcement of the second party or the third party, but the only party. This is so important, right? Not an announcement of a second party or a third party, but the only party. I'm both Alpha and Omega. Before I show you anything, I want to let you know who I am. Amen. Look at this. This is very important. The greatest of all revelations is the deity, the supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get the first base until you believe that. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible is going to be very confusing if you cannot get this, right? The prophet told us that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. If we don't get that revelation, it's going to be hard to understand the scripture. My. The greatest of all the revelations is the deity, the supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get the first base until you believe that. That's what Peter said. Repent and then see the deity. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then you're ready to go in the spirit. The first thing you have to know is the deity of Christ. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm from A to Z. There's no more but me. I was at the beginning. I'll be at the end. I am he that was, which is, and shall come, the Almighty. Think of it. That's what the trumpet said. I love that. Be careful, John. You've entered into the spirit. Something's going to be revealed to you. What is it? A trumpet sound. The first thing, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first of all revelations. Oh, sinner, bow, repent now before the time's too late. I'm Alpha and Omega. That's the first thing that he let him know who he was. Who's approaching? Is this King Jesus? King God? King Holy Ghost? He said, I'm all of it. Not three different gods. One God. Alpha, Omega, beginning, ending. I'm all of it. I'm from A to Z. I'm the beginning and the ending. I'm the immortal, eternal one. So just a little later, we watch him in the sevenfold personage. Watch what he is then. See, I am the beginning and the end. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I was before there was a first. And after there's no more last, I'll still be there. In other words, the first and the last. My. See, that supreme deity of Jesus Christ is extremely important. Don't take it for granted that God has revealed that to you. I was having a conversation with somebody just a few weeks ago, and the thing that they just keep getting hung up on, that one statement, God in three persons, that is impossible. It's no way that they can be the same if you still got them in three persons. I mean, when I heard a young man tell me, say, no, God and Jesus, they're the same, but it's just two different persons. I say, no, impossible. I say, now, you a person, I'm a person, he a person. It's not going to be three people like that. It can't be, you know. So he just could not get his head around that. He thought for sure he was explaining it to me. We went on to watch a little video, and Tony Evans said the same thing he said. I looked at him and said, I'm sorry, I differ with Tony Evans. There's some things he say I might agree with, but that right there I differ with. God is not in three persons. You can't chop him up like that and give him to a Jew, and neither can you chop him up like that and give him to me. Amen, church. God is not in three persons. Three offices of the same person, but not three different people. Amen. That's a great revelation to receive that, and don't take that lightly, because there's many people that do not have it. Amen. Most people that you have, that you talk to about trying to explain Godhead, they just get completely confused. I mean, they don't even believe it themselves. They know they don't believe that. They know it. It don't make sense. Help us, Lord. Let's go back. Amen. Thank God for revelation in this hour, church. Amen. So, John was saying, when he turned to see the voice that spake, being turned, he saw seven golden candlesticks. And if you just kind of look at that picture, there's a little something wrong with it. And those are candles on the top of it that will burn out. That's not what John was talking about, because they will burn out. So we want to break into this just a little bit. I want to go back to my quotes that I have there on the page, because I got one from the original Church Age book and then one from the Church Age book that you have. And just thinking about that picture that actually has candles on the top of it. Let's see. The prophet says, I turned to see the voice that spake unto me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Seven golden candlesticks. Now it says, it's the King James Version, which you probably have, either Scofield or maybe a Thompson chain or some of them. It isn't correct there. It does not say candlesticks. It says lamp holders, lampstands. I believe is the right correct word said in the original translation. See, other words, these seven golden candlesticks were seven churches. He says a little later in the 20th verse here, the seven candlesticks that you saw are seven churches. So you see, if it was a candle, it would soon be consumed and burn out just in a little bit. But it isn't candles, it's a lampstand. And it gives us a lampstand. Being turned, I saw one like the Son of Man standing in the midst or the middle of the seven lampstands. Now, I'm also going to page 50, paragraph 1 in your Church Age book that you have there. The prophet also says, when John turned, he saw seven golden candlesticks. Actually, they were lampstands. And according to verse 20, they are the seven churches. The seven candlesticks that thou sawest are the seven churches. To represent the church, they could hardly be candles. A candle burns but a while and then is burned out. It dies. There would be no more to it. But lampstands possess a lasting quality not found in candles. So when John turned, he saw a lampstand, right? And that lampstand is possessed a lasting quality that is not found in candles. Let's go back. So here, when we see this particular picture, that picture is wrong the way that's designed, because those are just candles and they will eventually burn out. That doesn't represent the church. The prophet told us that we could go to Zechariah 4, 1 through 6, and that describes what the candlestick is. So let's go to Zechariah 4, 1 through 6. He says, the scripture says here, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waking out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and the seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I love that. You know, if we're going to get anything done, it's going to have to be by the Spirit of God, right? And if you, I one time I preached from this particular verse, and that what that might, actually when I clicked on, just looked that word up, it was as if, you know, like financial power, right? Somebody might feel like they're strong financially, so maybe they can influence a church through their finances, right? But the scriptures say, no, not by your finances, not by might. And when it says no by power, it's like military power, right? Just because you have a large military, that's not going to influence anything either. It's going to be by the Spirit of Almighty God, right? So it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Going back to just a quote here, if I can, on this lampstand. Again, this is the original church age. Brother Branham makes a comment. He says, now what is a candlestick? It is a lampstand. Notice how beautiful here. When he turned, he saw this one like the Son of Man here standing in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, which means seven church ages to come, and each pipe or lampstand hooked into the main big oil censer. And then this oil come forth up to a little odd-shaped lamp. And remember, oil represents the Spirit, okay? So, and in this oil come forth up to a little odd-shaped lamp that set with a wick in it, and the wick hung down to the oil, and they pour oil into the top of the stand, which filled up the main big stem, and the big branch as it run out into the stems like this, and the lamp with the wick hanging down, this pipe into it, kept burning day and night. You never had to light it. It never went out. They just kept pouring oil in the main pipe, and these lampstands would come out like this, had the lamp setting on top of them, the wick from the lamp run down into here, got its life out of here. Oh, what a different it is from a candle. How different. It's a lampstand, and it's pulling oil. I like that. It's a lampstand, and it's pulling oil, just drawing it, just constantly just drawing it, right? Pulling oil. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Amen. So I want to just kind of show another little picture of what is actually right. So if you can kind of see this, you know, so it's like this is the main part of it right here, and just kind of drawing all into all of this right here. Just pour it in, and it's just going to draw right in. This is not candles, but this is what a true lampstand would look like. Amen. So let's go on a little further here. The prophet says this about the lampstand. Says it was lit. He says, now examine this lampstand. You will notice that it has a large bowl or reservoir that is central to seven arms that come out of it. This bowl is filled with olive oil, which flows through the seven wicks, which are placed in the seven arms. It is the same oil that burns and makes the light at the end of the seven pipes. this light never went out. The priest just kept pouring oil into the bowl. So the light never goes out. The same Holy Ghost that was manifested in the first church age is the same Holy Ghost being manifested all the way down through the seventh church age. The light never goes out. I don't care how dark it may seem, the light never goes out. Can I also say something? Sometimes Satan may make it seem like it's dark time in your life. The light never goes out. We're just going to pour some more oil in there. We're going to pull from our source of oil. That's all we're going to do. The light never goes out. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 The prophet also says this. This is also in page 50, paragraph 4 in your church age book. I want to read a quote from there. Let me just read this. Keep the picture there. On the screen, I'm going to read this. If you can follow along in your church age book, that'll be great. The way that this was lit, it was lit in a very special way. The prophet says the lamp was lit in a special way. First, the priest took fire from the sacred altar, which was originally lighted by the fire of God. He lit, first of all, the lamp that was sitting on the top of the bowl. He then lit the second lamp from the flame of the first lamp. The third lamp received its fire from the second lamp, as did the fourth receive its from the third, and so on, until all seven lamps were burning. This holy fire from the altar being passed from lamp to lamp is a wonderful type of the Holy Spirit in the seven church ages. The original outpouring of Pentecost, which outpouring came direct from Jesus on the mercy seat, is enduing his church through all the seven ages and showing forth perfectly that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the never-changing God in his essence and in his ways. Now, church, when I read things like that and I look at that, if we got the same exact Holy Ghost that they got from the day of Pentecost, then we should see the exact same things that they saw. Amen. Now, I'm not going to let anybody talk me out of expecting everything that they had in the book of Acts plus. Amen, church. Amen. Every gift I see in the Bible, I want to see in the church. Amen. We talked about that last week. I believe it's supposed to be here. I don't believe we're supposed to have anything short. Yeah, I know we got the word, but we're supposed to have the spirit too. We have to have both of them. Ain't no way anybody going to talk me out of that. I'm sorry. Call me whatever you want. You can call me Pentecostal, original Pentecostal. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. But don't let anybody talk you out of that. This is the same Holy Ghost. If it manifested that way back in those days, it's got to manifest itself the same way today. We should not even expect less. But the only way we're going to get more is we got to get into the Spirit. Praise the Lord. We might have to let go some Snapchat. Huh? We might have to let go some Instagram and some Facebook. We might have to let go of some of them things in order to get in the Spirit to receive what God wants for us to have today. I'm under expectation. Amen. I'm under expectation. One of the things about days gone by, they did not have as many distractions. They didn't have them. I mean, and the devil just create more and more distractions. We're all in here. We can remember where there was no such thing as an app. Well, an app. You never even heard of that, right? I mean, and all of a sudden, now it's like, and one app, because you'll never have the perfect app. Everyone's going to do something that, I mean, it's going to lack something. So somebody's going to come up with something else, and people are going to move. I saw just a big wave. Leave Google Plus, go to Instagram. Another wave. Leave Instagram, go to Snapchat. Right? What's going to be the next thing that the devil have us on? And next thing, then we tie it to all of them. Amen. We got to let go of this stuff. We got to let it go, church. We got to get in the Spirit. We got to get in the Spirit. I want to see God move. I don't believe these should just be quotes. This should be a manifestation within the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. We we're connected to the same source, pulling from the same oil, you know, the same oil that poured out on the day of Pentecost. That's the same oil that's in the church today. Let it manifest in the same way is my prayer. Glory. Let's go on just a little further. In this particular portion of these pages in the Church Age book, the prophet was also referring back to St. John 15, where it says that I'm the vine and ye are the branches. And notice he is the main vine, but we're the branches. In this picture, this is a picture of a tree that has multiple fruit reflected on it. And, you know, there was a time, I think Brother Branham went out west, I think the man's name was John Sherritt, I believe, that showed him this tree that they grafted the tree in. And it was like, it had tangerines, had oranges, had grapefruit, had, you know, lemons, had all kind of stuff on it. And Brother Branham looking at the tree like, now how could that tree do that? You know, produce all those types of fruit like that. On that tree, and he said, "What kind of tree is it?" He said, "Well, it's an orange tree." You know, I forget the exact words that he used. He said, "It's an orange tree." Well, why is it producing all those other fruit? He said, "Because they've been grafted in." And he said, "Okay, but it's producing all." I said, "I just don't understand how it can do that." He said, "Now what happens if it ever put forth an original orange branch again?" He said, "If it put forth an original orange branch, it's gonna produce oranges because it's an orange tree." And all what's happening is that the other branches that's been grafted in, they're living off the life of that tree, right? And there's been a lot of stuff that's been grafted in and been living off the life. Amen. Yeah. Right? But we're trying to get back to the original. Yeah. Glory to God, church. We're going back to the original. Amen. Amen. So, you know, as he was just kind of saying this, and I want to just read a couple of verses from St. John 15. It's going to put forth an original branch. This church, amen, the bride is going to put forth an original branch, original. And it has to go back to the original word in order to put forth the original branch. Praise the Lord, church. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. John 15. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." So there's a process. That purging process is not easy. I remember when we started the church, this was actually one of the scriptures that the Lord used. He gave me that I was standing on. And what I looked at is that where God was calling me from, it was not an unfruitful situation. It was extremely fruitful, right? A lot of times, you know, people leave church and they just got off. I don't like that. I don't like that. People, they claim the spirits in the church. That's why they don't go. You know, it's a dark cloud that came in. No, that's not true. That's not true. Those things did not happen, right? You don't have to criticize a place when the Lord leads you out, right? And what the Lord showed me is that, no, it's fruitful. It's certainly fruitful. It's not, look at where you are right now, your Christian walk, right? That ministry has helped you get to where you are. So don't kick them to the curb now, right? I mean, be grateful for what they did for you, right? But, I learned that, no, it was, you know, what God was doing was purging. He was cutting. He was purging. And the purpose of purging, right, if you ever had trees and you cut the trees back, the purpose of doing that is that the tree might grow stronger, right? And what the scripture tells us here, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Now, you got to understand that if it's bearing fruit, it will go through a purging time. Oh, my. If it's bearing fruit, yeah, I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. If it is bearing fruit, it will go ministries are going to have to go through a purging time. There's a purpose for it. Oh. The purpose is that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, I begin to even think about this year. We lost many a saints this year. It's a purging time. But my expectation is God going to bring forth more fruit out of this process. Amen. The minute that went home to be with the Lord. But it's a purging time. God going to bring forth more. And I mentioned on Sunday how sometimes it takes tragic situations in order to push people into their greater purpose. You know, it takes that sometimes. But, you know, thank God for the process. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. That means stay. Amen. Stay connected. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I just like that portion, and I hope you had a chance to just kind of go and read the whole chapter. It's part of our homework assignment from last week. But, church, if we stay abiding in the vine, the same way that lampstand, I mean, those lamps are connected to that main, that central reservoir. It's connected there. And as long as they stay connected, it's going to constantly burn. Amen. Holy Spirit should be manifesting itself all the time. That's what we should be expecting. We abide in the vine. We're branches, but we abide in that vine. If that branch or that vine puts up another branch, it's going to be just like the original. So, church, this is what the expectation should be. Don't settle for anything less. What you read in Scripture, you want to see manifested today. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's the main vine. We are the branches. I got just a couple more slides. So read with me here in Church Age book as well on this. Page 51, I'm at paragraph 1 and paragraph 2 we're reading. The prophet says in John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He is the main vine, that which comes out of the original root from the original seed that has the life in it. Now the vine does not bear fruit. It is the branches that do that. Now watch this. You can take a citrus tree, such as an orange tree, and graft it into a grapefruit limb, and a lemon lime, and tangerine lime, and other kinds of that variety, and all those limbs will grow. But those grafted limbs will not bear oranges. No, sir. The lemon lime will bear lemons, and the grapefruit limb will bear grapefruit, and so on. Yet those limbs will be thriving off the life in the tree. But if that tree ever puts forth another branch of itself, it will be an orange branch and bear oranges. Why? Because the life in the limb and the life in the trunk are identical, whereas it wasn't so with the grafted limbs. Those grafted branches had their sources in other kinds of life from other trees, from other roots, from other seeds. Oh, they will bear fruit all right, but they won't bear oranges. They cannot, because they are not original. That's the way the church is. The vine has been split and limbs have been grafted in. They have grafted in Baptist limbs, Methodist limbs, Presbyterian limbs, Pentecostal limbs. I found a stat that there's over 42,000 different denominations in Christianity alone. Christianity. I'm not talking about people following Buddha, Muhammad. I'm talking about people that are Christians that say they believe in Jesus. 42,000 different beliefs. When he say they grafted in, they have grafted in Baptist limbs, Methodist limbs, Presbyterian limbs, Pentecostal limbs, and those limbs are bearing Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian fruit, denominational seeds from which they produce their fruit. But if the vine ever brings forth another branch of itself, that branch will be exactly like the vine itself. It will be the same kind of a branch that was brought forth at Pentecost. It will speak in tongues. Hello, somebody. That's what he said. It will speak in tongues, prophesy, and have the power and signs of the resurrected Jesus Christ in it. Why? Because it's thriving on the natural. See, we shouldn't be afraid of this. If the prophecy is going to be there, it's going to be there because the Bible promised it to be there. Amen. Unbelief won't stop it. Why? Because it's thriving on natural resources of the vine itself. You see, it wasn't grafted into the vine. It was born in the vine. When those other branches were grafted in, all they could do was bear their own fruit. For they were not born of that vine. They don't know about that original life and original fruit. They cannot know, for they were not born of it. But if they had been born of it, that same life that was in the original stem, Jesus, would have come through them and manifested through them. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Denominations which are man-directed cannot be born of God. For it is the Spirit, not man, that gives life. Not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of Almighty God. Go with me a little further. I got two more slides that I want to bring to your attention. Just a couple more quotes. And we'll close it out in a little bit. The prophet tells us that when you're looking at these lampstands, this lampstand, I should say, we can see the church ages all through this. The Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, all represented here. It says also every true believer is dramatically depicted here or represented also. And when you're looking at the lampstand, the true believers, just not just the church ages, but the believers are represented there as well. And here he makes some comments. Believers, they're all drawing from the same source. I like that. You know, I can go just about anywhere in the world, and I could probably take this one book if I was going to a message church and start preaching. And man, everybody just have a connection. Right there. That's because we're drawn from the same source, right? We're drawn from the same source. Amen. And it just brings a connection as we're tied right back to the scripture and everything. We're drawn from the same source, not just somebody's ideas or thoughts, but what is the vindicated word for this day, right? We're drawn from the same source. He says also they have all been dipped. Come on. I don't know why I'm not getting that. Got a couple of them. They've all been dipped into the same bowl. He says they are dead to themselves and their lives are hid with Christ in God. The next one, they are sealed in by the Holy Ghost. No man can pluck them out of his hand. See, we're all depicted here. No man can pluck them out of his hand. He also says their lives cannot be tampered with. I like that. The devil can't touch us. Their lives cannot be tampered with. The other thing is when we get a revelation of the blood of Jesus Christ, church, there's nothing that you have done that separates you from God. Once it's under the blood, it's under the blood. And like I mentioned a few weeks ago, you don't even have to be ashamed of the things that you've done because of the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, glory. Their lives cannot be tampered with. The visible life is burning and shining, giving light and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. I like this. The inner, invisible life is hidden in God and fed by the Lord's word. Now I got me a little hashtag that I did create. draw my strength from the word of the Lord. See, the inner invisible life is hidden in God and fed by the Lord's word. And this last one I love. Satan cannot touch them. Boy, that's protected. I'm surrounded. You know, every believer is depicted in that lampstand there, right? Satan cannot touch them. Just to finish this with a couple quotes here. Page 52, paragraph 2 and 3 in your church age book, and we'll finish it up here tonight, right here. He says, how thrilling it is to think of these, of those seven lamps drawing life and light from the resources of that main bowl, because they had their wicks dipped therein. Each church age messenger is depicted here. His life is on fire with the Holy Ghost. His wick or life has been immersed in Christ. Though through that wick, he is drawing the very life of Christ, and by it gives out light to the church. What kind of light is he giving? The very same light that was in the first lamp that was lit. Right on down the ages to the present time of the last day messenger, the same life and the same light is manifested by life that is hid with Christ in God. Not only can we speak thus of the messengers, but every true believer is dramatically depicted here. They are all drawn from the same source. They have all been dipped into the same bowl. They are dead to themselves and their lives hid with Christ in God. They are sealed by the Holy Ghost, Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. No man can pluck them out of his hand. Their lives cannot be tampered with. The visible life is burning and shining, giving light and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. The inner, invisible life is hidden in God and fed by the Lord's word. Satan cannot touch them. Not even death can touch them, for death hath lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. Thanks be unto God, they have this victory in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank God for this church. We are very, very appreciative of what the Lord has done for us and how we're represented even right here in the scripture. Satan can't touch us. That's a beautiful place to be. My, I remember the story of the preacher telling about the hounds that were running after a rabbit, I believe. They were trying to get him, and those hounds was on his trail. And that rabbit was just trying to do everything he could just to get away from him, and he finally saw a little rock, and that rabbit got in right into the crevice of the rock, right through the little hole that was in the rock, and it got in there, and he was small enough to get in there, so he was small enough to get in, but the hounds were too big to get in. And that rabbit, once he could get into the other side of the rock, he just started breathing better, right? I mean, he started catching his breath, and he just said, you know, I'm safe because I'm behind this rock, and there's nothing that they can do. It's the same way it is. Satan been on our trail forever, but once we get into the rock, Christ Jesus, there's nothing the devil can do. Praise God. He better go try to find another meal, because we're safe. We are safe. Thank God for that safety that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're appreciative, Lord, of your word that just ministers to the depths of our soul. Thank you, Lord, for a revelation that comes through the word of God. Thank you for sending a prophet just to kind of help us to see, you know, what this is all about. When I just think about over 42,000 different denominations just in Christianity, and so many, Lord, are just, they're living off the life of the vine, but they'll never be able to produce the original fruit. God, we realize that in order to produce original fruit, we have to go back to an original word, and we thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to, Lord, just walk in this and be under expectation for you to do the things that you promised to do, as we see it in Scripture. Not be shortchanged in this hour. We look for you to do everything that you said that you would do, God, and we want to walk in that. We want to enjoy that. So we pray, Father, that you would just Reveal yourself more to us as we, Lord, as we just are determined just to love you more and more. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen.